Good morning and welcome to our service of worship, and we do hope that the service is a blessing to you. We're so grateful for Cindy Steele and Hal Halverson, who are here today to lend their wonderful talents to our service. We also want to welcome the Sherman family. You'll be seeing Milo and Theo in the service. They're going to be talking about the first candle of Advent. And they're here on a very special day. This is Grandma Sue's birthday. Sue Sherman died some years ago, I believe it's 5 now. And every year on her birthday, they have a very sweet tradition where they have a birthday party in her honor to remember her and keep her memory and her stories alive. So we join them in celebrating Sue Sherman's birthday today. On Saturday, from 1 to 4 p.m., we'll be having our annual adventure. This adventure is very different from ones we've done in the past. It will basically be in the parking lot. We'll be giving you candles, wrapped candles, and Advent booklets, and watchwords, and also, I have it on good authority, Moravian sugar cake and boxwood wreath kits. Now, if you would like some of these items, we ask that you either call the church office or email us tomorrow so that we can have things ready for you. And we have some very faithful runners who will be running out to the parking lot and giving you your supplies. All donations that we receive will be going to Door County Secret Santa. And this is our heating ministry here in northern Door County to help people with their energy and heating bills throughout the winter. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
The first candle of Advent. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent means coming, and in this season, we prepare for the coming of Christ.
One of the ways we prepare for his coming is by making an Advent wreath and lighting its candles to remind us of the gifts Christ brings to the world. The light from the candles, which grow stronger each Sunday in Advent, remind us that Jesus is the light of the world. The first candle of Advent is the candle of hope. Hope is like a light shining in a dark place. A candle is burning, a flame warm and bright, a candle of hope in December's dark night. While angels sing blessings from heaven's starry sky, our hearts we prepare now, for Jesus is nigh.
Sing together our hymn, O Come Emmanuel, verses 1 through 3. Reflection for today is written by Reverend Corey Kemp. Perhaps this year, more than others in recent memory, we need Advent. Not because our world circumstances feel so foreign, but because we are beginning to see ourselves as strangers in a strange land. We are becoming a people without hope or purpose. We are not alone, but in a familiar place for God's people. We mourn for all that we lost since last Advent, with the knowledge that we will not reclaim our lives for a while longer. We are not alone, but in a familiar place for God's people. We ache to return to traditions, gatherings, and activities that mark Advent the way we remember them, not in truncated form. We are not alone, but in a familiar place for God's people. Throughout history, God's people have known both disruption and destruction of their lives, their homes, and their lands. They have seen their hopes crushed, their dreams deferred and shattered, and their sadness well up in never-ending sorrow. We are not alone, but in a familiar place for God's people, because we are God's people at this time and place. We are called once again to light candles and pray, "Restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel, strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king. Born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Amen." We come now to that time of worship where we bring our praise reports and our prayer concerns. We are thankful for the memory of Sue Sherman. We're thankful for the life she led. And we pray for the Sherman family today as they mark a very special birthday. We want to remember our brother Colin Welford. The funeral services are this week for his father, and then he flies home later this week. So let us pray for the family and for Traveling Mercies. We want to remember Brittany, who is in COVID quarantine. We want to remember Molly. We had prayed for her last week, and her surgery went well. She still has a recovery ahead, but we're so grateful for that. We are praying for Kevin, awaiting a transplant. We are praying for Rhea and Dean as they deal with cancer, for Carter, who's recovering from a car accident, for children, Jaden and Madeline. We want to thank God that Tristan and Noah, who we prayed for last week, are doing well. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful to be here this day to bring our praises to you, our thanksgiving for all the ways in which you have blessed us and kept us through a difficult time. We are so grateful for the memory of Sue Sherman, so grateful for the delightful ways in which she was with us, the gift that she was for us for so many years. And we ask that you would be with her family as they remember her today. We ask that you would be with Colin and his family as they gather, that you would grant to them your comfort and your peace. We would remember all of those who are in need of strength and healing, Brittany, Molly, Kevin, Rhea and Dean, Carter, Jaden and Madeline. We ask that your grace, your strength, and your mercy would be upon them this day and always. We ask all of these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mortals and angels come.
Our Old Testament lesson is taken from Psalm 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. Our New Testament lesson is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus, for in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech, in knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hath done to me. hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to
my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's very helpful when we fall apart that somebody's around who's strong enough to lift us up. I don't care how tough we are, there is a breaking point. And at least once in our lives, we're going to fall apart, either physically or emotionally or spiritually, we're going to fall apart. And we want people around us who are not falling apart, who can pick us up, who can help us through it, whether it be healthcare professionals or people in our family. But what do you do when everybody around you is also falling apart? It's as if everybody has the flu at the same time. That actually happened in my household when I was much younger. I guess I was 5. And everyone but one child had the flu. My parents had the flu. One of the brothers did not. And he really wasn't capable of taking care of the family. But everybody was bedbound. And this brother, because he wasn't bedbound, thought it would be a good idea to climb the utility pole that was in our backyard, because he was experimenting with something. And he got up there and froze and couldn't get down. And so poor daddy, who was sick as a dog, had to get out of his sick bed, had to borrow a ladder that was tall enough, climb the ladder, and get that boy down. As if today, everybody's sick at the same time. And that's awfully difficult when we're falling apart, because as we look to other people, we find they're under stress, they're falling apart too. We look to our healthcare workers, and they are under such stress that many are falling apart. They're trying their best. We look to our nation and our political system, and we thought after an election that that would be the end, and we find ourselves in turmoil today. We're all falling apart. What do we do? Well, we're in good company. because the people that wrote Psalm 80 were falling apart. They were the people of the Northern Kingdom. You got to know something about the Northern Kingdom. There was a fracture there. The Northern Kingdom of Israel were the tribes that were mentioned in Psalm 80. If you remember, that psalm talked about the tribes of Joseph and Manasseh and of Ephraim and Benjamin, and these were the tribes of the Northern Kingdom. Not only were they being assailed by outside forces, but they were also cut off from their southern brothers. That was the kingdom of Judah. So even though they shared the same race, even though they shared the same God, even though they had all these things in common, they traced their ancestry back to Moses and the great liberators of the past, but they were cut off. In fact, in another psalm, another group wrote this: "He rejected the tent of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which God loves." In other words, God loves us better than he likes you northern folk. And so they were cut off, and they were begging God for help. And they asked a question of God, and I don't know if you heard it. It happened three times. In case God didn't hear the first two times, he kept saying it over and over again: "Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved." Now, we don't really understand that term today, "let your face shine." Even though in the Aaronic benediction that I say quite often, "May your face shine upon us," well, we listen to it, but we really don't understand it. You have to go back to the time when people were ruled by monarchs. And if someone came in to ask for help, they would bow before the monarch. They would not look into the eyes of the monarch. That was considered disrespectful. But their heads would be down, and they would give their request and beg mercy from this monarch. And if the monarch deemed to help the person, the monarch would tell them to lift their face so that they could be in the presence and see the presence of the monarch. And it was said that the light of the monarch's countenance was upon the petitioner. And that's what we ask when we're falling apart, is for the light of God to be upon us. And during this season of Advent, as the light grows, we keep asking. And it's so important for us, when the nation is falling apart, when our neighbors are falling apart, when there's no one that can lift us up, we look to the rock of our salvation. We look to the light of the world. And aren't we fortunate today that life is not just made up of what we can see around us, but we live in the shadow of eternity. We live in the shadow of that light that shines on us, especially in the darkness. And so I would challenge us today to speak out with the psalmist, to beg for the light of his countenance to be upon us, and to lean into that reality that we are not alone. The people of the Northern Kingdom understood that. And as hard as it was, as devastating as their lives were, as they talked about being fed with the bread of tears, they knew that they couldn't look around them for help, so they looked up. And may we look up today. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that when all is falling apart around us, may you give us the strength, the hope, the grace, and all the light we need to place one step in front of the other. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.